here on 100.2 FM, 95.1 FM, Freeview 277, online at bizradio.co.uk and syncportradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Who still doesn't exist on the jingle for me.
I haven't got, they haven't sent it to me. I've asked them for the jingle.
Somewhere locked up in a vault.
Probably. It's probably been condemned.
Is my mic on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you not hear?
Not really, no.
Shall I turn your headphones up then?
Yeah. Oh, see, this is the thing.
See, is that better?
This is the thing.
Is that better?
You have full control.
I do, and it's really good, isn't it?
I used to like it when I could control my...
I know. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Can you hear you now?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a shame.
Sounds much, much better.
Yeah.
Lots of interesting stuff. As I drove through from... Tankerton this morning.
Mm.
I would say sunny Tankerton, but it seems to be raining again.
Right.
I did 40 miles an hour on the motorway. Then I did, I was allowed to do 50. Then I had to slow down again to 40.
Are you doing this just to annoy me?
No. What, to be late?
No, talking about speeding.
Oh, how's it going?
I haven't had the nip yet.
We've had three children.
You know. No, not that nip. No, the notice of intended prosecution.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And you don't really... there's too many cameras, and I was just noticing as I came along on this that... So I'm doing 40 miles an hour. There's no sign of any roadworks, but there's loads of stuff, roadwork stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
And police speed checks and things.
Mm.
I thought, God, it's going to take me for hours to get there. And then there's a slip road, just as you're coming up towards Faversham, and it says on the slip road... 20 miles an hour. Well, you know, you're coming off. You know, you can't do 50 on it. It's a little country lane. So they've...
Bradley could do 50 on it. He'd go round it sideways.
I mean, I could try.
We've got in the studio, listener, a warm welcome to you all. We've got Bradley Westgarth, and he's a Milldown, was it campers?
Yeah, but he's a racer as well.
He
does rallycross, yeah.
Guilty as charged.
And we've been talking for the last half an hour about motor racing and
Paul Andrews loves me. We watched, have you watched Rush on Netflix?
No.
You won't have done.
No.
Because you don't really watch it. It's about James Hunt and... what's the Austrian guy?
Nicky Lauda.
Yeah. I must take some lion's mane or something.
It's your age, darling.
I must take some lion's mane. It was great. I mean, we watched it. I've got a picture of me when I was about your age, actually, a little whippersnapper with James Hunt. He loved
really?
It, of course, yeah. And my new husband, I said to new husband, well, because, you know, Michelle Rue Jr., he loves me. I can't, I'm frightened.
Jules was a JPS girl.
Was she?
Yeah. She had her own Lotus.
Yeah. Esprit.
Company car,
Turbo,
yeah.
Darling, Turbo. Yeah,
of course.
When I was 25. Mm. So there's a picture of me and him, and, you know, we were so naive in those days. My new husband said, why didn't you marry him? we're sitting at home, we live on the seafront, and we've had these northeasterly winds, which are vicious.
Yep.
And we've got windows that are probably, I don't know, 1980s, double glazing. And I literally, the wind, you know, there's herbs waving in the wind on the engine. And we can't afford to put the heating in, thank you, government, because I don't see... Oil prices have gone down, you know, Bradley.
Yeah, but the petrol prices haven't.
No, exactly. And the heating hasn't.
I know, it's incredible.
So we're shivering. We have a little wood burner going. So I was moaning about it. I was like, I had 85...
You weren't. You were moaning?
Yeah.
That is so unusual, right. Jules.
Well, yeah. I had 85 layers. I had a vest, woolly socks, a little blanket... And new husband said, you should have married James Hunt, then you'd have afforded it.
He's just trying to get rid of you, that's it, yeah.
But this weather has been a bit, I mean, I think everybody's getting affected by this weather, yeah. Don't you?
Mm. Well, the terrible thing is my mum's in a wheelchair.
Is she?
So she has a problem with the back of her neck as well, which means she can't work. And, you know, we live in Canterbury and it's quite a nice part, but... the heating and the electricity and all of the bills.
Yeah.
It's just whatever she gets from the government just isn't enough.
Yeah.
She's sitting as well, so she can't get warm.
No, exactly. And she needs the warmth because of the circulation in her legs. She has to wear special stockings.
Has she got MS? Or?
No, it's not. Chowry malformation type 2.
That's what?
It's called Chowry malformation.
I need to have a look.
Oh no. Jules has got a new one now. She's not heard of that before. So we're going to, for the next few weeks, we'll be having that now.
Well, we'll have a gossip down at the good show. Bradley and I are going to meet at the good show.
Oh, are you? Okay.
We'll have good gossip because I do know.
She likes a health hazard.
Yeah.
She does.
I think I would have made a really good GP, Paul Andrews. Hold on.
I was going to say, if you were a GP, they'd never get any medicine, would they? You go, no, you can't have that. You need some eye of Newton, bat a toad or something.
Well, I must say, I met, the NHS at the moment trying to get everybody onto statins, like everybody.
Yeah.
And, I've said on the show before, before you take anything, obviously I'm not medically inclined, but everything has got side effects. So don't just take some admin person phoning up and saying your cholesterol is high, because there are two types of cholesterol. There's good cholesterol and bad cholesterol. And a couple of my friends have had phone calls and they've challenged it, and the person's gone away and looked at the numbers and said, oh yes, it's actually your good cholesterol that's high. You don't need statins. Well,
they're so understaffed as well, so they're having to whiz through all of these things. They're probably missing stuff that's quite important.
There was a poor lady, she was an NHS nurse, who they mixed up her do not resus. It was a man that was 92, had a do not resus, and she went unconscious and they didn't resuscitate her because they mixed up her with a 92-year-old man. Very sad. But the signage, did you hear, Paul Andrews and Bradley, that in Wales, which is, even more countryish than Kent, we were driving along 20 miles an hour, practically nodding off because there's no cars. And they're now backtracking the Welsh Government and
they're
going to be having to remove it at taxpayers' cost.
Yeah, yeah.
So, how much will these signs cost? I still feel a bit fuzzy in my ears, if you want to turn me up a bit.
You want to be turned up a bit more?
Yeah.
Is that better? Can you hear okay, Bradley?
I can hear perfectly fine.
Yes. No. It's just us, we're old and deaf.
Yeah, I'm not deaf.
I am. I'm deaf.
Yeah, you are. But you're better in headphones. You should just wear headphones.
I should wear headphones all the time, because I can hear with the headphones on.
We can have a conversation when he's got his headphones on.
Which is why I don't wear them very often.
And my daughter as well, Sid, she just said, because they all use our address because they move around so much, she said she was flashed by a speed camera in London. She's, worried, because you can be going 35 miles an hour in a 30 and you get flashed. Oh. But they don't seem to get the boy racers. You can't say boy racers anymore.
They know where they are, don't they?
Yeah.
What?
They know where the speed cameras are, so they slow down. Did you see that famous one?
That's why I like the...
No, did you see the famous one? There was a fabulous piece of video. There was some... I can't remember. I think he was Lithuanian. It was some Eastern or... East European or Baltic. But he was driving in Switzerland. Right? Okay, and it was a dual carriageway that went up to a roundabout and then came back the other way. Anyway, he came flying up the dual carriageway, and there was a speed camera in the days when they flashed, because they don't flash anymore.
No.
And it flashed. So he didn't know what it was. So he turned around and came back the other way, and the other one flashed. So he turned around and came back the other way, and it flashed again. He got done 17 times driving past his camera, wondering why it was flashing at him.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Do you know him?
No, it was a video on social media somewhere.
And did he have to pay?
Yeah, they took him to court, and he said, well, I didn't know what it was. And they went, but you broke the speed limit 17 times in the space of 15 minutes.
That's harsh.
Talking of Swiss, I'm on decaf like you at the moment.
Yep.
Because Christine Bickley, my nutritionist, said I have to. It was my dream.
And you always do what you're told, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
But you can't just have any decaf, because coffee beans are actually quite badly processed if it's decaf. Quite dangerous.
I'll trust you.
Quite poisonous. So you have to go for organic decaf. But I contacted our friends, The Real Coffee Shop, Coffee Bean Shop. Sorry, it's Coffee Bean Shop on Twitter, at Coffee Bean Shop. And they do a Swiss, because you said Swiss, it reminded me, a Swiss water method of taking the decaf out. So it's actually not bad for you.
Okay.
So it's worth knowing, when you do buy decaf, not to have...
Have you bought some of it and tried it?
I've been having it for a week now. And
what's it taste like?
Nice.
Yeah. Okay.
Better than yours. yep. But having said that, I haven't had any withdrawals or headaches. Did you get headaches when you cut it out?
No.
I didn't. But this morning, I did feel a bit sleepy, so I've actually...
You felt a bit what?
Sleepy.
Sleepy, yeah. Really.
So I smuggled some caffeine. This is caffeine, but we won't tell Christine. But that's my first one for a week, you know. I thought, what's one going to do? Like, it's a long drive, and then...
It's a slippery slope from there, though.
That's how it starts.
Yeah, it's how it starts. Yeah, you're right, Bradley.
But I went out on Friday. You know, I've been on a 90-day detox. Mm. No alcohol, no sugar. I mean, sugar is in everything. So... I went out with Becca,
right,
and we went to Kebbles in Broadstairs with Chef Craig Mather at the helm, and I met Sarah, the owner, and we had a magnificent meal. I highly recommend Kebbles and Broadstairs. Lots of seafood, lots of pork belly. It was really, really good, but I didn't drink Paul Andrews.
Right.
Even though I was off. Oh, that's better. You've done something to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's much better. I can hear myself now.
Okay.
I can hear you now.
You see, he didn't know. He doesn't know what he's doing. It's a new studio. Mm-hmm. I've probably been wasting my time. Nobody's heard me. It's been slightly like...
Yeah, well, I can hear you.
Anyway, that's much better. Mm. I feel like I'm alive now. I was muffled before, wasn't I, Bradley?
Yeah, I could only hear you through the...
Yeah, do you think he's done it on purpose, though?
Probably.
Yeah, I think he's muffled me on purpose. I will get my own back. You know, there's a jingle, actually, with my name on, my brand and my name,
yeah,
that he's played for months, and then suddenly it disappeared. What do you think?
Mm. Well, I think
I think he's jealous, don't you? Just jealous, because people love me, darling. They do love me.
It was odd, because I could hear you perfectly, so I don't know what was going on there.
The shenanigans most weeks, I have to say. But Kebbles in Broadstairs, nice independent restaurant. I didn't drink, so I was off my 90 day. I'd done the 90 days by one day,
right?
So I was on 91 days, I had sparkling water, and they were so good because I said, "Can I have a slice of lime?" Because it makes it a bit more interesting. Yeah. And they bought me freshly squeezed lime juice, and it's a really good thing to know, Paul Andrews. So they bought me a little jug of freshly squeezed lime juice for my sparkling water, and that was nice. What the other trick I've got for those who want to cut out is to get it in a proper wine glass. So, you know, they served it in a water glass. It's not the same. So at home, we go out and the sun comes out for about 2 minutes. And I say to my husband, quick, let's go to the garden. Let's have a little snifter. Now, in the old days, I'd have carver or something, you know, sparkling. He'd have a beer or whiskey or something. But the trick is I have San Pellegrino I quite like. And I put a little bit of ginger juice in it, freshly squeezed, or a bit of lime. But I have it in a champagne glass. Yeah. And it then feels like a ritual. And of course, if you're driving, maybe in a camper van,
exactly,
you can't drink. So that's a good thing to do.
I'm probably not an expert on this subject because I don't drink as it is.
Ever.
No.
So you'd be the perfect one to do my 90-day protocol. Why don't you take over?
Well,
What's your reasoning?
There is no reasoning.
You don't like the taste?
No, I don't mind the taste of alcohol. I have alcohol very occasionally, you know, on a special occasion or something, but I just find no need for it.
So when you go out to a pub, what do you have?
Coke. I don't really like the taste of beer. I know it's one of those ones that you have to acquire, isn't it?
Yeah. Ale, you mean?
Yeah.
What about lager?
No.
It's because you're young, I think.
Possibly.
Yeah, I've just got my kids. My kids are 20, young. The baby is 28, Shane. I've just got him onto good red wine, and he didn't used to like it. And olives, but now he's...
See, I don't drink either. I'm too tall. The thing is, he races cars.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to do that with beer.
And you'll find a huge number of racing, apart from James Hunt, a huge number of racing drivers don't drink, or if they do, they don't drink very much, because they get enough of a thrill out of the adrenaline rush of racing cars without doing it, having had a few beers, if you see what I mean.
Well, it's like driving on the road as well. Yeah. So many people who, you know, get in the car with me think, oh, you're going to go mad, you're going to go flying away. And I just, no, I get my thrill out of the racing track.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Right. Do you know what we're going to do now?
A little bit of... we're hearing an interview, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to hear from Michael Taylor and Linda Cloak of GitGo, the concierge service.
Oh.
So let's hear what they've got to say. And then in the second half of the show, we're going to talk to Bradley. So let's hear from Michael and Linda. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker show Michael Taylor and Linda Cloak from GitGo. Hiya, folks. How you doing?
Very good, Paul. Yeah, thanks very much. Great to be here.
Good. It's lovely to see you. Intriguing business. I'm really keen to find out about GitGo and what you do. So why don't we jump straight in and explain to our listeners what it is exactly that GitGo, which you term a concierge service, what is it that you actually do?
Yes, yeah, so we started this concept about 3.5-4 years ago now, the whole market research into it. And the whole plan was to set up a concierge service of the most trusted trades and service providers from around localised areas. Started in Surrey, and now we've moved into Kent, and we're in 15 regions across the south now. And it's basically, yes, just to set up a mass concierge, but made up of the most frequently used trades and services
right.
homeowners and business owners need every day just to get through their lives in any given year.
Okay.
From dog walkers to the best tutors to the best trades, event managers, everything all under one roof.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Many years ago, I was a fan of science fiction, and there was an author called Robert Heinlein, very prolific author. And in the late 1940s, one of the books he wrote, which is one of my favourite books of all of his genre, was a book called We Even Walk Dogs. And the premise of the story was it was a company that did anything that you needed them to do. The fascinating thing about the book itself is it was written in 1948, so it was before anybody had heard of computers or the internet or anything like that. But he basically described what we would now call a call centre with people sitting at computer terminals that organise stuff, which is exactly what you guys do. And I think that's absolutely brilliant, because when I was a kid, it fascinated me, and I spent a long time wondering how I could pull off a business like that, but never having managed it. So I'm really glad that you guys have.
Yeah, so we found a gap in the market. I mean, concierge services exist, but in the main, they exist. They're very expensive to use, and mainly therefore sort of high-end luxury items.
Right.
You know, if you want classic cars or watches or fancy holidays, hotels.
Yeah.
But now we've catered for the wider market, and a concierge service now exists, which is the first of its kind in the UK.
Right.
A, it's free, and B, it caters for the things that we need day in, day out, just to live our lives.
Well, so anybody can call you up and ask for your help to put them in touch with a service that they need.
Service they need. So if you need a dog walker, or if you're, you know, you need a boiler repair, or an electrician, you'll contact GitGo Concierge. We'll take down the details, then wish you a good day, and we'll connect you with a member of our network.
Wow.
Fully vetted, trusted, and available, more importantly, on the day you want the job doing.
Oh, wow.
And the other way around, and you have to call up people over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So we've created that sort of solution,
right?
Which the problem would exist in the
A massive time saver for people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we lead very busy lives these days. It's so frustrating when you've got other things to do and you're trying to get someone to come and fix something or put something in or deliver something.
That's a win-win, isn't it, Paul, really? Because, you know, when you think people spend so much time going through on Google trying to find someone to do what they want to do, and we all want to get our time back. And Michael said, you know, elevate your lifestyle by saving time.
Yeah. Oh, Google's a nightmare sometimes, isn't it? Because, you know, I had a problem the other day and I needed a plumber quickly. So I Googled plumbers in Tenterton, and the first 20 were nowhere near Tenterton. They're national businesses that pretend they're local, but they're not. And that's not what I wanted at all. I wanted someone to live just down the road that could pop round now and you know, fix my leak.
I mean, a lot of these traditional directories, the more you pay for your sponsored ad, the further you'll go up the page. And like you say there, you might be sort of 20, 30 miles down the road.
Yeah.
Now, we know with our network we've put together, our trade and service providers are all within your local vicinity.
Right.
But it's that availability.
Yeah, that's the key thing, isn't it?
The key.
Yeah.
No one's really ever found a solution to that before, and that's where the concierge sort of fills the gap.
Yeah.
Because we can make sure that we sort of bridge that gap amongst the homeowner and the trade to find the availability and then connect the two of them together in a sort of real trusted environment.
Cool.
Yeah, really working.
I like it. Yeah, I like the sound of it. It sounds really cool. Sounds really good. So when did you launch the business?
So we started the market research sort of back in 2019.
Right.
And launched our first sort of network of trades and service providers 2020. And now we've built up to over 1,000 businesses in our mass network,
right,
who people who are suppliers, they regularly meet up on a monthly basis, do network and get to know each other in a trusted environment. And what we've also got behind the scenes, we've got several thousand businesses who basically, you know, have got the filter down work if our main suppliers are not available. So we won't just have one plumber in the area. We've got sort of 10 of the best approved GigGo plumbers.
Cool. So you're a partner in the business. It's your business. And Linda, you're the sales manager.
I am.
Yeah, that's really cool. Just turn to Linda for a moment. So in your role in sales, Linda, where are you aiming at? Are you responsible for recruiting trades or customers or both?
All of them, really. So what we do in my department is we ring up the businesses, the trades, any business, really, that's
service providers,
I contact them through social media as well. So I've got people who suggest...
Well, you're really well connected as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I've got a few years training there. So on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, for example, I'll contact so the smaller businesses. And this is what is a real winner, I think, is because, you know, generally a lot of what you call networking events are expensive, and you know they're also at the wrong time of day for people. Whereas with ours, you're talking about £20 per month plus VAT. It's a manageable, affordable amount. If they wanted to do a couple of areas, so say they wanted to do Medway and Maidstone, they could opt to join two clubs. So it's really good, and even the annual fee that gives them a full platform is fantastic fee as well.
I like that. And I saw something on social media the other day where you had a kind of a thing where you got together, a thing. That's a technical term.
I call it a supplier meeting. Most people call it networking.
So you had a networking meeting, didn't you? And so tell us about that. Is that something you're going to do on a regular basis, or was that a one-off?
Yeah, so all of the events take place once a month in certain areas. But next month, in May, we're not holding any meetings, any local meetings. We've got two massive meetings. The one in Kent is at the Great Danes on the 20th of May. And that's going to have over 350 businesses there. So we're inviting people who aren't members, who are members, who are customers, who just want to be providers through the concierge. So they're all being invited along to the Great Danes. And that's going to be 5:30 in the evening. And the booking, you can book it through Eventbrite, so it's fantastic. But also, for example, this week we've got Dartford tomorrow, Dartford Rugby Club. We've got Canterbury at the Abbots Barton. So we meet in each area because we want to get to know those suppliers. We want to know they're going to turn up every month. So we know they're going to turn up to your home.
I think that's really important, isn't it? That that you're building a relationship with those suppliers. So you know them personally and they know you personally. So it's not, you know, I know I'm old and all the rest of it, but I have worked in technology for a long time. And technology really annoys me these days because we put it in between people and there's nowhere around it quite a lot of the time. It's very detached and it's all fill out a form, you know, do it online, do this, do that. You never actually get to speak to anyone. So I love what you're doing, the fact that you're building relationships with small businesses, small and medium-sized businesses.
And they're building relationships with each other, Paul.
That's
working that way as well, which is fantastic. So they're not just seeing us.
They're seeing each other.
They're seeing each other and they're building those. And obviously they're getting business from each other because it just happens naturally when you start building those relationships.
I mean, the networks are working really, really well. Each of our networks have up to about 100 businesses at every single one of the events each month that we hold them. And yeah, they just work exceptionally well across all the areas we've got. We've got 15 of them now.
Across
Surrey and Kent, South East London and South West London. So they're working really well. But I think it's about the trust, and all of our suppliers that we have really trust each other. The homeowners trust them. The concierge, which was originally launched in Reigate in Surrey, homeowners love it because they've built up relationships with this mass connected network of businesses. We've sort of just, we've bridged that gap, and the trust is a major element of it.
Absolutely. Linda, you need to keep us on the Business Monkey Radio Show. You need to keep us informed of when these are taking place, because we're happy to put it out and let people know each time you've got someone, you know, something going on. and especially your big event at the Great Danes. Send us the details of that. We'll happily talk about that on the show in the weeks leading up to the event.
That would be wonderful. Yeah. I mean, just to touch on that briefly, I mean, it's going to be the biggest standalone networking event in Kent, we believe, this year.
Wow.
And lots of things going on. Every single business that turns up is going to get their free VIP concierge card for life.
Right.
Gives them access to GigGo Concierge, no cost for life, and we're giving 2,500 of those memberships away.
Wow.
But yeah, so we're looking to get as many businesses there as possible. There's going to be some homeowners coming to the event.
Right, okay.
Concierge, so it's going to be a really fun night.
Okay, cool. So you launched in Surrey. Yep. You're now in Kent. Is that your two main areas at the moment, Surrey and Kent?
Yeah. So we're going to remain with that for the next sort of 12 months, roll out the concierge, make sure that it's working really, really efficiently.
Okay.
And then the growth plan in the next sort of 5 years is 57 regions in the UK.
Yeah. I mean, interestingly, where we are here, the radio station down in Tenston, we're almost in East Sussex. So, for instance, our catchment area for the radio is Kent and East Sussex, because we broadcast across both. And if you look at the Kent border, there's a big bleed over right the way into Sussex, isn't it? So it's almost one of those things that will come along naturally anyway, as you expand into that.
Well, funnily enough, we were talking on the way up about doing something at the Trading Post.
Yeah, why not?
Because we're talking about building like sub clubs. So the main clubs have 100 people in each club, but some of the smaller clubs, because obviously we want the supplies in all areas, and one of the mantras we say is that they're local and available.
Yeah.
So people are in Tenterden and don't want someone coming from Mates, and probably not even Ashford.
No, absolutely.
They want someone local, so we're looking at building up sub clubs so they do have local people in every
absolutely.
Area.
Absolutely. And it's an interesting area, this, because although it's quite rural, as I said, we're as close to Hastings and Rye in Sussex as we are to Maidstone. So we cover the Weald of Kent here. And it tends to be a bit of a forgotten area because it doesn't fit neatly into one county. It's actually two counties next to each other, and it's fairly rural. People don't think about it, but there's a huge amount of disposable income in this area. And there's actually a lot of people, but they don't live in big conurbations. Yeah. You know, once you leave Ashford, there's no big conurbation again until you get to Hastings.
Yeah.
But you've got all that stuff in between, you know.
You've got some great businesses in this area, though.
And there is. Yeah. Absolutely. There is. Yeah. I love what you folks are doing. It's really, really good. I need to ask, though, where did the name come from? GitGo. What is it?
Well, the name, the Latin origins of GitGo is something of starting new, of new origins, to get going. So basically it's a play on words of on the
get-go. Right, okay, got it. Get-go.
It sort of just sticks. So, yeah. But no, we're pleased with the brand, pleased with the name. And the general plan is to make the local population, local public, understand that if you want the very, very best local trade and service providers, don't Google it, GitGo it.
Yeah. Okay, like it. It's a nice strap line, isn't it? Don't Google it, get go it. Yeah. Okay, we can live with that. So if people want to use your service as householders or businesses, how do they find you? How do they get in touch with you? Is it through our website? Is it a help call centre? How does it work?
It's a website. Yeah. So getgo.co.uk.
Yep.
And they can go on and they can put their name, their phone number, and then they can put what their inquiry is.
Right.
So, and then what we do is we get back to them within 24 hours.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's it. Well, we've got the platform, so they'll put their name, address, what they're after, press find.
Right.
That's one route of doing it. But as soon as we get the inquiry come through, we'll give the homeowner a call back within 10 minutes.
Right, okay.
Get the information.
So we're on it, yeah.
We're on it straight away.
Yeah, okay.
And that service line is always available for them. But
yeah.
They can always, as well, call up our concierge line, sort of, 6 days a week at the moment.
Okay, cool.
Until 10 o'clock at night.
Wow.
Put a request in what they need again, and we'll connect them with the best suppliers around the area.
Wow.
It's all free. It's completely free for the homeowners.
Yeah. I mean, that's a killer, isn't it? Yeah.
It's never been before. A concierge, like I said, has always had high premium to it.
So. Yeah, I love
it. And I think a concierge for businesses is a really good idea because a lot of businesses, especially startups, you know, it's very difficult for them to find the different things they want, find people they trust. They rely on people who are in the know, maybe.
I was just going to say, because I've been around a long time and in business a long time, I get about a dozen phone calls a week from people who go, do you know this? Yeah. Do you know that? Yeah. Can you do this? Can you do that? And I don't mind. You know, I go, yeah, well, you know, I know someone who does it. But I haven't investigated the market. All I'm telling them is people I know. Yeah. So you're right. You know, and there are lots of services that small businesses, or not just small businesses, that any business needs that they don't need on a frequent basis. So they haven't built a relationship there. You know, I've started a business. I need an insurance broker. Where do I find one that, you know, I can trust, you know, or I need an accountant. You know, where do I find one? On those kind of things, I've seen people make lots of mistakes with them because, you know, we'll all the will in the world, somebody will go, oh, you use my accountants, but they might not be the right thing for that business.
Yeah, not the right fit.
It's not the right fit. So, but if people don't know, they don't know.
And that's what it all goes back to, knowing the businesses we're bringing on.
Exactly.
We have a very hard vetting process, especially with the trades, to make sure that, you know, we go through our 9-point checklist to make sure they're fully accredited,
cool.
make sure they're governed by the right bodies within their industry.
Right.
But also, we have a sort of a one strike and you're out policy.
Right.
So if a real bad job gets done, legitimately so, we'll just remove them from our platform and give them total reassurance to the homeowner that we've got the best of the best. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Love it. I'm really liking it. Well, I wish you much success with this. I think it's going to be a rip-roaring success. I can't wait to use it myself. I might just ring up and ask for something just for the hell of it, or go into the website and ask for something. I'm going to ask you a question. You might not know the answer. Don't worry if you don't. What's the weirdest thing you've been asked for so far?
Oh, goodness me. So a lot of people ask for parties. So we've been asked for sort of hen parties and things like
that. Oh, right, okay.
So they're always quite fun.
Right.
But a whole variety of things. Asbestos removal.
Right, okay, you know, okay.
It's still around, apparently.
Yeah, skips. Absolutely.
Yeah, skips. I mean, absolutely everything. I mean, cupcakes for birthday parties, Christmas.
Well, it's easy, isn't it? Yeah. It saves you thinking. You just go, I'll go on the website and I'll see them. Oh, you know, I don't have to think about this. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. Okay. In a couple of years' time, though, well, I'm going to have you back before then, but in a couple of years' time, we're going to have a special radio show on the weirdest things that have been asked for.
Yeah,
you'll have dozens. And I'll go, no, nobody asked for that. No, you're making it up.
Michael's actually going to be going out and seeing some new people for the concierge, aren't you, Michael, in the next few weeks?
Yeah, just heading round the next three or four weeks because we're partnering up with golf clubs, care homes, local football clubs, tennis clubs, and we're going up and down high streets.
Right.
So we're going to get majority of high streets where we have our networks all around the southeast signed up.
Right.
So they can give discounts to the homeowners
who
go in their shop on their coffees or on their clothes or just their day-to-day things they use.
Right.
To say 15% discounts. So every member of the concierge will get discounts up and down the high streets, which is
fantastic.
Really cool, yeah.
So it's local discounts as well, which I think is absolutely massive.
Yeah. I like it. I like it a lot. We even walk dogs. Fantastic stuff.
Grab that somewhere.
Yeah, cool. Give us another shout out for the website.
So it's gitgo.co.uk.
Okay.
That's G-I-T-T-G-O.
Yep. Give it a try. Yeah, you got nothing to lose. Give it a try, see what's what. Good luck with your big events, and we wish you much success and continued success with the business. Michael Taylor, Linda Cloak, thank you so much.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you.
Great.
Bye.
What a brilliant idea that is.
Yes.
Really, really good idea. Very clever. Whilst Michael and Linda were talking there, they mentioned the event they've got coming up. So let me re-emphasise that. It's the GitGo Concierge Launch Party for Kent. And they say GitGo are the UK's only free concierge helping people and businesses take the hassle out of ringing around tradespeople and professionals, checking availability and carrying out due diligence. Always vetted, always available and always local. Their event is taking place on Monday the 20th of May at 5:30 in the evening, 17:30, at the Mercure Maidstone Great Danes Hotel.
And if you want to book a place there, it's eventbrite.co.uk/gitgo, G-I-T-T-G-O. Great stuff, eh?
Yes, indeed. Sorry, I'm just doing a little tweet. We've had lots of tweets. First of all, I'm just going to read this. It's Kent Invicta Chamber. There's an informal event which will give you an opportunity to promote your business and make invaluable connections with local businesses in Kent. I can see our guest today, Bradley, will be popping in there probably. Chamber Connections Networking. Each month it will be in a new location, so to be inclusive of all businesses in Kent, they say. You're all welcome. The next one is Thursday the 9th of May, so this is the diary date. It's 10:30 a.m. to midday, noon, and it's at the Donington Manor Hotel, London Road, which is Dunton Green, Seven Oaks.
Yep.
I know it well.
No, you don't. You couldn't even find Seven Oaks, let alone Dunton Green or Riverhead.
No, yeah. Well.
There's a Bentley dealer at Riverhead.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, where my new neighbour in the old
Bentley
Craze
and
house.
Aston Martin, they do. Opposite the Bullfinch pub.
I'll have one of each.
In Riverhead. The way to Donington Manor.
My new neighbour, Paul Andrews, yeah. Who bought the house from the Crays, who's our lovely neighbour, Steve Cray, has got a Bentley, and he's got all sorts of sports cars and all sorts, and they've all got their own number plates.
Most cars do.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
You know what I mean. So anyway, if you want the sat nav for this, it's T for Tiger, N for Norman, 13 and 2 and T for Tiger. And as usual, it's all on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Put a little / calendar. And that's the 9th of May, and it's in Seven Oaks at the Donington Manor Hotel.
Absolutely. Big shout out for Justin Dean of Creative Motion, the video people.
Yes.
Big Business Bunker shout out for them. What else have we got here? I'm going to read you something in a minute as well, which I want your comment on, Jules. But before I do that, let me just find another tweet. Oh, Health Mary, the Health Mary app.
Oh, yes.
They say, we're tuned in to hear Paul and Jules chat with Milldown campers and Git Go. We're intrigued, they say, intrigued.
Ooh,
be intrigued no longer.
Yeah.
That's Health Mary, and it's an app for getting your bits sorted out.
What bits?
Any bits that aren't
healthy
working.
Bits.
Yeah.
Or unhealthy bits,
yeah,
I
yeah.
think. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You can follow them on the Twitter. Let me give you their full... Yeah, Health Mary app is their Twitter handle. Right, I want to tell you this and get your view on this. The government's new tipping act is a step closer to coming into force as today the Code of Practice is published and laid before Parliament. The new Code of Practice will protect the tips of more than 2 million workers.
Oh, I thought you meant refuse tips.
No.
Yeah, I'm going down a tip.
Yeah, no.
Oh.
Giving them a fair share of the tips received by a company.
Mm.
Millions of UK workers are set to take home an estimated £200 million more, not each.
Yeah, because so they'd be off to Rwanda where it's nice weather.
Yeah, of their hard-earned cash. Excuse me. As landmark legislation on tipping took a step towards coming into force. The government introduced a code of practice on the fair and transparent distribution of tips. The updated code of practice will be statutory and have a legal effect, meaning that if it can be introduced as evidence in an employment tribunal. The Act and secondary legislation make it unlawful for businesses to withhold service charges from their employees.
Wow.
Ensuring staff receive all of the tips that they've earned. The measures come into force on the 1st of October 2024.
That's very interesting because I always feel that people should get a fair wage.
Yeah.
And it can be quite difficult if you're like me on a bit of a shoestring at the moment.
Mm.
I haven't worked properly since the AstraZeneca jab. Mm. And so my earnings have gone down. Now, I'm high maintenance because I'm old, so my roots have to be done every 3 weeks.
Absolutely. Always. Yeah, mine too.
You know, you've got to, his parting. You've got to, Bradley, you've got to tip the hairdresser. Then if you go to a restaurant or a cafe, you've got to tip there. In America, everyone
That's
tips,
normal.
Don't they? It's kind of normal. But England, it's kind of
salon. I need to tell you something about the United States, yeah? An awful lot of bars and restaurants and diners don't pay the staff anything. They earn purely tips.
Oh, that's outrageous.
Okay, hold on. So I'm in Denny's,
Denny's Diner. Yeah. Having me breakfast. Yeah. Yeah. And the girl, that's serving me, is in brilliant. She's everything okay, sir? Can I top you up? Can you do that?
Like eggs over easy.
Yeah. And she said,
want some more coffee?
She said,
hash brown.
You're British. Yeah. And I, yeah. She said, just to let you know, we only work for tips. And I went,
wow.
Okay. There's a horse running. And I said, okay, well, you know, why? Why do you do that? She said, because we make far more money as long as people tip us. And I said, okay. She said, we are given the option. We can work for a salary and then we don't get tips, or we can work just for the tips. And most of us work for just the tips. And she said, and it's a double-edged thing for both parties, because we tend to serve people better because we want a better tip.
Yeah.
And we make more money.
Would they pay tax on the tips?
They should.
Yeah, because
well, you have to, it's cash, isn't it? So you have to declare it.
But it's not now. My hairdresser in Barnes, lovely Theodore, who's amazing, and Manny, his partner, they have an app. So when you're sitting there, you do that. But the other day I did it, I didn't know. I sort of waved it about, and I wanted to give, there's a girl that washes my hair who's lovely and does a little head massage. And then there's the hairdresser that does my roots. I got a tickle. And I wanted, and I kind of in the ended up giving them £20 each by mistake.
Yeah. This is one of the other drawbacks, isn't it? We're moving away from a cashless society. Is you don't have small amounts of change to tip people with.
I always make sure I do.
Yeah. But you can use a card. But, for many years, people didn't declare tips. And then the government just clamped down on it and said, you have to declare it. It's earnings.
I just find, though, for Joe Public, if we haven't got a lot of money and we're going to places and we're spending a lot of money, beauty salons have all gone up. The prices have gone up. Hair has gone up because of energy bills. So we're already paying a lot of money. And then there's this kind of thing where they, I don't know. I find tips a bit demeaning, to be honest.
Yeah, but this is...
I find, sometimes there's this, you've got to tip everyone and, they'll walk you to the cash desk
and
they're not being nice.
You haven't got to tip anyone. You only have to tip people that are giving you good service.
Then you feel horrible if, I'm quite a nice person. I don't like confrontation. I feel horrible if I'm not giving them a tip.
Yeah but if they're not serving you properly and you're not happy with what's going on, then that's the only way they're going to learn to be better at it is to not tip them, and go, sorry, you need to do better than this.
What do you think, Bradley, as a young whippersnapper?
Well, I think when you go to tip someone traditionally, it you always think of it going to the person that you're tipping.
Yes,
that's the thing.
Yeah,
and to think of it going to someone who owns it that, you didn't have that nice conversation
with. That's driving a Lamborghini.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you didn't have that nice conversation with them. They didn't, make sure everything was okay on the table. They didn't do all that sort of stuff. And to think of it, going to them rather than the people that actually serves you on
sometimes,
the day, it just feels a bit wrong.
Sometimes it goes in a communal jug, doesn't it? And I'll often say, I go to a few hairdressers, different types, and I'll say, does this go to the, will it go to so-and-so because it's going in a communal tip? Of course, Michelle Roux Jr. had a big owner of Le Gavroche, which has now sadly closed. I really miss it, or will do. But he's doing pop-ups and things. But, amazing restaurant. But there was a thing about that, wasn't there, where he wasn't by accident not passing tips on.
Yeah, and that's what this legislation is all about, is because a lot of places put it as a service charge.
Yeah,
so it doesn't go anywhere near the staff. What this says is if you've got a service charge, the service charge has to go to the staff.
Well, that's good. Is a good thing.
That's what the legislation's about.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've got cheesy tunage.
And cheeky tunage.
I've got cheesy tunage in homage of Bradley here. Yeah. What do you reckon?
I don't know. Camping.
It's a caravan of love.
Now, remind me who's by.
House Martins,
yeah. Birdies. Yeah, he's thought of that. All night he's been out thinking about that. Are you ready? Ready for the time of your life? It's time to stand up and fight. It's all right, it's all right. Hand in hand, we'll take a caravan to the motherland.
children of the world can see. This is a better place for us to be. The place in which we were born, so neglected and torn apart. Every woman, every man, join the caravan of love.
Stand up,
stand up,
stand up.
Everybody take a stand. Join the caravan of love.
Stand up,
stand up,
stand up.
I'm your brother. I'm your brother, don't you know? She's my sister. She's my sister, don't you know? We'll be living in a world of peace. In the day when everyone is free. We'll bring the young and the old. Won't you let your love flow
from your heart? Every woman, every man, join the caravan of love.
Stand up,
stand up,
stand up.
Everybody take a stand. Join the caravan of love.
Stand up,
stand up,
stand up.
I'm your brother.
I'm your brother, don't you know? She's my sister.
Sister, don't you know?
Waiting for the
castle.
Are you ready?
He's coming.
Are you ready?
He's coming.
Are you ready?
He's coming.
Are you ready?
Better get ready for it.
You better get ready
for it.
You better get ready.
There you go, the House Martins, the Caravan of Love. Do you like it? Yeah.
Very clever.
Yeah.
I love the House Martins. He's got a really distinctive voice, so they've got nice harmonies.
Yeah.
But I see what you did there.
Did you? Yes, could have. Right, Martin Reeves has been on, Collector's Buddy.
Yeah.
Paul and Jules, I'd love a Business Bunker shout out, please. I'm listening live. Happy St. George's Day.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I was just, I tweeted this morning, the history of St. George, and actually he never came to England, apparently. I was reading the
not another one.
Yeah.
Actually, he wasn't English, actually.
Well, it's very
interesting. But nobody mentions the dragon.
No, it came in later, but I sent this to my kids. So I was looking at very quickly while I had my eggs and bacon, Paul Andrews, two rashers since you asked, and three eggs, and a whole avocado.
Yeah, yeah.
And full fat milk, organic, of course. Mm. But I went on to EnglishHeritage.org.uk, which you can do. Nine things you didn't know about St. George. And apparently he wasn't English, and he was born in Turkey, which was...
No, he wasn't.
Which was then called Cappadocia.
It was Cappadocia, and it wasn't Turkey for another 400 years.
Modern-day Turkey. Yeah. What was it then, Cappadocia?
Cappadocia, Asia Minor. Yeah.
Sounds very Italian, doesn't it?
It's Greek, actually.
Oh, okay.
And he was half Palestinian and half Greek.
He's in
the Roman army. Nobody mentions...
How do you know all this? Looking at this
nobody
morning?
Mentions the nationality of the dragon, though. No. That's what always annoys me.
No, but what was the nationality of the dragon? Dinosaur. But, you know, this is very interesting. So
he's thought
to have died in Lydia, which is modern-day Israel, in the Roman province of Palestine.
Yep.
And his tomb was in Lod, which...
You can still visit it.
I want to.
Allegedly.
Well, not in Palestine now. I wouldn't. A bit dangerous at the moment.
No, Palestine is Israel.
Well, Palestine is not, if you're my... Palestinian friends who are Arabic.
Yeah, no, but where it is that used to be Palestine is now in Israel.
They commandeered it, is what you mean. Yeah. And there was something about Libya in here when I read further on. It's very interesting because I was reading about the countries that celebrate it because it's not just England.
It's Malta, Bosnia, Herzegovina, Portugal, St. George's, all
Lebanon,
the patron saint of
Lebanon.
St George's, all the patron saint of all those countries.
Exactly. And the story goes that St George rode into Cyllene or Cyllene, which is modern day Libya.
Yeah.
And I used to have a boyfriend from Libya.
Yeah.
So
did he have a dragon as well? Yeah. Yes, he did.
He was a pilot.
You see where I've been there? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, they have, well, not him, but my other boyfriend.
You had two at the same time.
Sam, I did actually when I was young. Yeah. I was terrible. My mother, even when I was 15 or 16, the boys, they weren't Arabic, from Essex, used to turn up to take me out when I was about 15 and bring flowers and chocolates. And I'd be out with Antonio Land, who was really nice. And my boyfriend, who was a bit older, Gary Clinch, used to turn up and I'd be out with Antonio Land, and my mum would have to cover for me, and she'd end up getting the chocolates and flowers and keep him company. And it was all a bit, you know, I was a bit of a tearaway at 15.
No, that's not the word I would have used.
But yeah, so Libya, I mean, isn't it interesting? Read it.
Well, not really. Every year we get this nonsense about, you know, do you know St. George wasn't English? Well, of course he wasn't. No patron saint. Patron saints aren't picked for their nationality.
No.
They're picked for their attributes. So St. Patrick was Welsh, not Irish. St. Andrew was Israeli. He was Hebrew. He wasn't Scottish at all. You know, it's just nonsense.
But it's a feast day, of course. So I'm going to be doing roast beef tonight.
Do you know what else happened on April the 23rd?
No.
Shakespeare was born.
Oh, was he?
Do you know what else happened on April the 23rd?
He had an Arabic cousin called Sheikh Bashir.
Did he? Do you know what else happened on April the 23rd?
No.
Shakespeare died.
Well, he was born and died on the same day?
Yeah,
well,
no.
I think years apart.
About 45, 50 years apart.
Wow.
But he died on his birthday.
Wow, that's unusual. Or maybe not pleasant.
Chips and Dinks, looking forward to the Business Bunker today with Vanilla Webb and Jules Serkin, hoping to be listening live, and will politely be asking for a shout-out if possible. We have been nominated Most Reliable Vehicle Repair Company 2024 and the UK Enterprise Client Service Awards. So that's
excellent.
Yeah, so that's Chips and Dinks and fantastic. Bev and Tony, massively, massively well deserved. They are fabulous at sorting out all your little chips and dinks, as well as sorting out your motor and your alloys and all the rest of it. They're actually pretty good at upcycling stuff as well.
They are, and they did my alloys. Well, not mine, but my Merck's alloys, and they were lovely.
No, you did your alloys. They repaired them.
You know, yeah. Well, because it's far too low, my car, and it's and the curbs in Herne Bay.
Curbs are too high for your car.
But they have a very, very nice, awful, you're trying to get out of the car. I mean, I can spring out of the car on a normal road, but when you're trying to, you're parked and the curb is higher, you have to sort of snake up. It's really difficult with your knees.
Yeah, right.
Especially your knees.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah Marsh Collings has tweeted, and she says, Paul Andrews, alluding to you, next time you need trades in Tenterden, Paul Andrews, let me know, she says. I can probably find you one. My ex, she hasn't put a smiley face, so we're not quite sure, but my ex, she says, is round the corner, and he's very well connected, so I think they're still friends. He's old school. C&G Chippy and General Builder. What's C&G stand for?
City and Guilds.
Oh, okay, brilliant. Well, all very well, Tenterden. What about Tankerton? We always need people as well.
He might come over.
Has she
got
any exes connected in Tankerton?
Well, you're the one with all the exes. I mean,
some of mine are dead now.
Bradley, she's been married 73 times.
It's very sad that I'm now friends with my ex-Egyptian husband's son from the Egyptian husband who remarried his sister-in-law when his brother died, as they do in Arab countries to look after the family. I'm now friends with his son from that marriage. It's really sweet. It's all, very
good.
Sweet.
Chips and Dinks have been on again. Lovely Bev. She says, thank you for my shout out, Paul. That's very kind. We were nominated by someone, but we don't know who.
Oh.
So please send our thanks in the hope that they are listening in.
Might have been us.
It could have been.
Yeah, it could have been.
Yeah.
We've had quite a few tweets, and I'm just scrolling through. We've also got a new cafe, this is a bit of news, and Welcome Centre, and it's set to become the first building to open in a closed-off 18th century fort. Very apt for St George's Day, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, I'm having roast beef tonight to celebrate, because it's feast.
Right.
I thought it was English, don't you think, roast beef?
course.
Can't go wrong.
Yeah.
A planning application has been submitted as part of a gradual process to open up the Citadel at Dover's Western Heights as a business and tourism site. Hotels, restaurants, art galleries and a music studio are all planned as part of this ambitious project, which is to be called the Little City and is estimated to cost $100 million. Who's paying for that then?
No idea.
Must be Dover Council getting a grant or something.
Possibly. Yeah, possibly.
$100 million, but it's amazing, but it's going to be a little city. Talking about little cities, I drove to Broadstairs the other day with to meet Serenity Becker, and we went to Kebbles, which is really, really good. And Chef Craig Mayler.
I saw you having your crevices filled in.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You posted it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. I was a model. Mm-hmm. In the old days, we'd take the kids from Whitstable to Broadstairs. Mm. In a straight line, you drive there. Yeah. Now, the roads have changed. There's so much building that it takes you all round through Westwood Cross.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's another city there. It's a huge building.
They built a railway station there as well.
Which is a bit of a white elephant.
Total white elephant. It costs millions and millions and millions of pounds and no one uses it.
Yeah, why don't they?
For the simple reason, there's a massive car park there with it, but it's so difficult to get to the railway station because of the windy new roads that nobody bothers to go there.
Oh.
Right. Tracy Ferguson has tweeted, "I'm listening while driving to Orpington to meet Mike for coffee and cake."
Oh,
well,
lovely.
Say hello to Mike for us, Tracy, and enjoy your coffee and cake.
Well, yes, and I would like some coffee and cake right now. It's very, very busy, this. I need to scroll down. Wayne Cunnington, hello to you. Listening into the Bee Bunker using the hashtag. From inside today, as the weather is a little inclement. Yes, it is again, may I say.
Health Mary app has been on again. We would love a shout out for our event on the 13th of June. It's a day of workshops for women in health and wellbeing businesses. You can network, learn and grow. There are 4 great speakers on Instagram, Business Mindset, Finance and Your Wellbeing. And you can find the details on eventbrite.co.uk. So check that out.
And Martin Reeves, I don't know if you read this one. Concierge business. Wow, what an original idea. Did you read that?
I've read that, yeah.
Oh, and did you say...
She never listens to me,
I think I recognise Linda's voice. Did you read that bit?
I did.
When she stood in for Jules, very, very avidly. And very aptly, or whatever your word is, courageously. And he says, "I've got Bee Bunker on full volume as I go round the house tidying up. I'll give you my address, Martin, if you're in the tidying mood."
I've got a lady called Kathy that has tweeted, and apparently she's got hot boobs in her bio.
Oh, has she?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when
I don't know if that's relevant to anything, but yeah.
I don't know. You know when you get that, I was blocking it. I was reporting it and blocking it because it's spam. But apparently once you get that on, it's like a marker and then all your tweets don't get seen. Did you know that?
Right.
Did you know that?
No, I've just had a really interesting...
He's not conscious.
I'm not, because I've just had a really interesting tweet from his grandma.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah. Carol.
Oh.
Carol Barron.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
And what's she saying?
Oh, my goodness. That's my grandson.
Oh. Has she seen his picture? Because I have put it on the Twitter.
Yeah, well, she's obviously knows his name.
Carol, he is an old soul, isn't he, in a young body, because he's a lovely man.
I know Carol really, really well.
Do you?
Yeah, she used to, I think she's retired now.
Is it something
now.
We should talk about on the radio?
Yeah. No, she used to run the Enterprise Group at the University of Kent.
What's her surname? Yeah. Barron?
Barron. Carol Barron.
Wow. Yeah.
Known Carol for years and years and years. She's your grandma.
Yeah.
Well, blimey. But the trouble is, Paul, that you and I are so old that we realise that the grandmas of today are younger, much younger than us.
I know.
It's awful.
It's sad.
Yeah, and I haven't got grandchildren yet. My lot are all still paying mortgages and beavering away and working, paying tax and student loans and oof. Mm. So, I want them now, grandchildren, before I'm too old to play with them, really.
Right.
But all I've got is a greyhound.
Right.
So, Carol, I wonder what you're doing now. You're having a little coffee and a snack while you listen. Mm. Your grandson, Bradley, is going to be on after the little break, and he's going to be telling us all about these amazing camper vans. There's a picture I put on the Twitter. And afterwards, Carol, I'm having a tour of the camper van. Yeah.
Absolutely. Right. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Have a little break.
We're going to have a little break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk to Bradley. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I do.
Let's do that then.
The Business Bunker.